I want to share two passages of scripture with you. Joel, the second chapter. And then I'm going to take you to Acts, the second chapter. Joel 2 and Acts 2. I promise to put these in their proper context. My message is really simple. There are four things that God wants you to get out of this message. Four things. And I'll explain them in just a few moments. When we read this story, we must understand that this is a beginning and an end. God declares the beginning from the end. So when Joel is prophesying to Israel, the very person that God is using is an indicator that what happens at the end is going to be all God. Joel's name means God is. that's what his name means. And so Yahweh is. And so he's using this individual to convey a message that it seemed as though what you have been going through is never going to end. They have been subjugated to devastation. These locusts came and ate up everything. The land was not producing. There was no renewal or refreshing or reviving in their culture, in their day-to-day life. Everything was stale. And this was a long process for them. So Joel comes and says, turn back to the Lord. Look at your name and say, repent. Everything that you're believing God for is on the other side of your ability to turn back to him. We've made repent out to be a dirty word. We've made repent sound like that you're the worst person in the universe because you had to say, I repent. Repent means to change your mind. It means to change your mind, follow by a change of action. So it literally means to turn around and go the other way. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, repent. There's a better, turn your attention and your focus. There's a better way of doing it. That's all repent means. So when we hear repent in 21st century and in 20th century and 21st century church, we hear repent and we think somebody sinned. I repented. David prayed this prayer in Psalms 51. He said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Don't take your Holy Spirit, your presence from me. That was a prayer of repentance. Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. I wanna be connected with you. I wanna be. So he tells them repent. And after he tells them to repent and turn to God, they go into fasting and they rend their hearts. They go into this period of fasting and crying out to God. And then where we enter into the scene is when God is about to respond. Yeah. So they're crying and they're praying, and here's God's response. So what you are reading is God's response to what they've been praying for. And God comes in and says, do not be afraid, land of Judah. Be glad and rejoice. Surely the Lord has done, past tense, great things. Surely, what you're crying for, surely the Lord has done great things. If he did it before, he'll do it again. Verse 22. Don't be afraid, wild animals, for the pastures in the wilderness are becoming green. The trees are bearing their fruit. The fig tree and the vine yield their riches. Look at your neighbor and say, it's already started. Verse 23. Be glad, people of Zion. Here we go. Be glad, people of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the autumn rains because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, or latter rain in the King James Version, former rain in the top verse, the autumn rains or the former rains, because he is faithful. He sends you abundant showers, both autumn and spring rains, as before. That means he did it before. Yeah. Verse 24. Yeah. The threshing floors will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. So here you have here grain, wine, and oil. Can you say that with me? Grain, wine, and oil. All right. Uh-huh. So the threshing floor will be filled with grain. The vats will overflow with new wine and oil. Go to the next verse. Uh-huh. I will repay you. For the years the locusts have eaten, the great locusts and the young locusts and other locusts and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you, that I sent among you, that I sent among you. It wasn't the devil. That I sent among you. Verse 26. And you will have plenty to eat until you are full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has worked wonders for years. And never again, and never again, I wish somebody would get this in their spirit, and never again will my people be ashamed. And never again will my people be ashamed. I want to take you to Acts, the second chapter. Acts, the second chapter. Yeah. Acts 2. Acts 2. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing and violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house. But it happened suddenly. Yeah. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Bible begins to explain that in Jerusalem, this was a time of Pentecost, a great feast, and it begins to explain all the people that were there from all of the regions and around the world. And they were amazed and they were perplexed. And they were saying, what does this mean? Because they heard what had happened in that upper room. They heard the suddenly. Verse 13 says, somehow, however, they made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. Yeah. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, because it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is that. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is the end. This is the end. This is the outcome. This is the realization of what was promised hundreds of years ago. This is that which the prophet Joel has spoke of. I want to preach to you from the subject called Power Up. Power Up. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. I can already feel the spiritual opposition in this room. So I stand in my spiritual authority and I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. I bind the spirit of apathy. I bind the spirit of hatred. I bind the spirit of unforgiveness. I bind the spirit of bitterness and the spirit of envy. I come against strife in the name of Jesus. And I say, Father, loose your spirit and power in this room so that we may receive what you have to say. You brought us to this place for this moment to hear the word of the living God. And no devil in hell is going to stop what you got to say this morning. Father, go down every pew right now and shake loose every individual who wants to sit on this service today. Do something by your power and by your spirit that is without doubt, that nobody can explain, that nobody can understand. Do it in a way that man's fingerprint can't be on it. Do it so we know it was all you. Because that's all we want, God. All you. We don't want a program. We don't want to be propped by somebody's pedigree. We don't want to be entertained by some individual's knowledge. We want a word from you, God. So speak, Holy Spirit, like only you can. Shake us this morning. We need a revival. There are folk in here, they're exhausted. They can barely praise you. They can barely put their hands together to give you glory. They're exhausted. So, Father, do something by your spirit that brings another sense of renewal and refreshing. Do what you promise. Pour out your spirit on all flesh. Let it not just hit them. Let it hit their sons and their daughters. Let it go all the way down generationally and touch their grandkids that's not even here yet. Father, make this day a memorial so that we will remember that this was the day that God touched us. Father, we thank you for what you're about to do, and we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, smile, and tell him, I'm going to get everything God has for me today. I'm about to power up. I need y'all. Come on. Come on. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm about to power up. I'm about to power up. Sit down, sit down. There seems to be a lack of focus and urgency in the body of Christ today, so much so that it is quite troubling. It's quite troubling simply because we have strayed away from the idea that God moves in times and seasons. We have strayed away from the concept that God is strategic and he is intentional. And we have strayed away from the idea that even though it looks devastating, it is not completely destroyed if God says he's still on the scene. Whenever God is on the scene to do a thing, it does not matter how much decay or how much darkness is present. Because when God shows up, his presence comes and immediately surveys the chaos. As a matter of fact, if I can be theologically correct, he's already in the chaos. His spirit sits there and hovers over the chaotic situation, waiting for the command of God to speak a word, just like we see in the creation narrative, as the Bible says, in the beginning, or in beginnings, Elohim, the creator of the heaven and earth, surveyed everything and saw that darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the spirit of the Lord was moving or hovering over the waters. The spirit of the Lord was moving and hovering over the chaos. The spirit of the Lord was moving and hovering over the situation. The spirit of the Lord was moving and hovering over the destruction. The spirit of the Lord was moving and hovering over all of the devastation, over all of the uncertainty, over all of the darkness. The spirit of the Lord was still hovering over it all. God is not afraid of your situation. He is not afraid of your predicament. He is hovering over the situation, keeping a watchful eye over the whole thing, because he knows how much you can bear. He sees that you are exhausted, but that's only in physical strength. Your spirit man is still alive and well. You're just tired physically, but spiritually on the inside, you're going, God, I'm ready for the next level. I'm ready for the next dimension. I'm ready to step into my purpose. What is exhausting off of you is nothing more than flesh, so that faith can come forward. That's why you're tired. You're tired doing it your way. You're tired of leaning on your own understanding, and you're taking off that tired thing, and you're putting on a garment of praise wrapped in your spirit, and you're coming up with a new, fresh hallelujah unto the Lord, saying, God, I'm ready. I'm tired of being frustrated, trying to do it my way. I'm tired. You're only tired physically. You're not tired spiritually. Your spirit can't get tired. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. And what you have to understand is that the spirit has been hovering over the situation, waiting for God to speak a word. And God is about to resolve some things in your life. It's going to be resolute, so much so that you are never, ever again going to be ashamed. You're never, ever again going to have to walk through some of the stuff that you walk through. It's about to be resolved. 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 I just need you to get it down in your spirit that it is about to be resolved. I don't know who this is for, but I need you to, in this prophetic moment, to become a prophetic instrument for your life and tell the person next to you, I don't know what it is that you're facing. Come on, look at them. I don't know what it is that you're facing, but it ends today. I'm just here to give you the news. I'm just here to give you the news. I dare you to find somebody who actually believes that and tell them it ends today. Oh, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to get through this message full, so you might as well get ready. It ends today. There comes a moment when God brings things to a resolution, to a head, to a completion, to a final moment. And today you have stepped into that prophetic vein. I wanted to talk just a little bit about us being prophetic instruments and getting into covenant harmony with God, so God can use our lives in that way, so that when people see our lives, they can see God reflected through our lives. I think you get all that. I need you to understand that what we're talking about here is God bringing something to completion that he promised years ago. Years ago, the children of Israel in the old covenant was going through some devastating moments and times because they did not have the temerity to go and take all of the territory that God said that they were supposed to have. And because of that, they fell into exile. They fell backwards. They regressed. They didn't progress. They were in a promise that God had given them, but they never took the whole territory. And because they never took the whole territory and built proper succession in place for somebody that had the guts to go after everything that God said they were supposed to have, they regressed. They regressed in a way that was this catastrophic. It was prophesied to them. God had to raise up Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel to tell the people that there's something coming that is going to seem like it cannot be reversed, that's going to seem like it's so totally devastating that it'll never be able to be rebuilt, that it never will be able to be restored. And God had to send prophets to let the children of Israel know, you're going to go into captivity, you're going to go into exile, you're going to lose some stuff, the temple is going to be torn down, but there's going to come a moment when God is going to bring all things to a head and restore everything with resolution, so much so that his people will never go back to being ashamed again. So there is a process in which God can produce something in your life that brings your situation to a complete close, that you never ever have to revisit that territory, that thing, that dilemma ever again. There's a place in your relationships, in your marriage. There's a place in your spiritual walk. There's a place in your physical healing. There's a place in your business endeavors. There's a place for your family in God, where God says, whatever it is you're facing in all of those areas and all of that stuff, I can bring you to a place where there is a complete and total resolution that you'll never ever have to be worried or feel ashamed again, because I'm going to produce something that's going to cause you to have the ability to power up. I wish I had somebody in here. Slap your name and say, I'm about to power up. That means that what I'm about to walk in is not by my power, it's not by my might, but it's by his spirit. The ideas that I'm about to come up with aren't my ideas. They're by his spirit. The relationships I'm about to come in contact with are not normal. They're by his spirit. You're about to power up, and I know you want the explanation, and I feel prophetic in this moment, so I'm not going to do a good job, I can tell you right now, of trying to explain all this to you and tie it all together in a nice, neat bow. Sometimes destiny, most of the time, should I say, is not neat. And it's not tidy, because destiny unfolds. And it usually unfolds in a mess. And sometimes you gotta see the mess and understand that it's messy, but it's still moving forward. It was messy for the children of Israel. It was real messy. And they were devastated. I mean, their hopes were dashed. They didn't have a lot of strength or energy. And God is using farmers and turning them into prophets. And they're showing up because the prophetic voices are waning. There's no more Isaiah on the scene and Jeremiah and so forth. And things are not good. They've returned back to Jerusalem. And people like Haggai are telling them that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former house, and their houses are still ruined, and the Lord's house is in ruin, and they got to rebuild the temple, and they got to try to rebuild their life, but at the same time, they got to rebuild the house of God while trying to rebuild their life, and they got to figure out what their priority is going to be. Are they going to rebuild God's house, or are they going to start working on their stuff? Are they going to get busy on God's stuff, or are they going to work on their stuff? So God had to send prophets all over the place and say, work on God's stuff. If you work on God's stuff, God will work on your stuff. And And so they had to figure out what their priority was going to be. And so they weren't prioritizing right. And so whatever crop they were getting to get, it was getting eaten up by locusts. And these locusts were coming and eating the fruit of the land. And for years, they weren't harvesting their grain. And if they couldn't harvest what they were producing in that agrarian culture, that agricultural culture that they had a of barter and trade that I'll grow grapes and I'll grow grain and I'll grow olive fruit that will produce oil, and I could barter and trade and sell all that what I'm producing and put it into the marketplace so I can live and be sustained. And they had no sustainability. They had no capacity to be able to produce anything because the locusts were coming and eating everything. And it was locusts in progress. In other words, the locusts started small and then they grew and they kept coming and coming. And so they started eating all the fruit of the land. They did not eat the land, but they ate the fruit of the land. So I got the land, I got stability, but I'm not producing anything. I got faithfulness, but I don't have fruitfulness. I'm showing up to the same place. I'm doing the same stuff. I'm trying to do some things differently. I sowed some different seeds, but nothing is producing the way it's supposed to be producing. Where is the fruit? And I believe that I'm in a room full of people who are asking God the same question. God, where is the fruit? I've been faithful. I've been coming to church. I joined the usher board. I joined the choir. I served the homeless. I'm paying my tithe. Where is the fruit? And they're frustrated. And they're frustrated. And so Joel comes along and tells them, listen, this is all going to come to an end. It's all going to come to an end. And they're going, when is that going to happen? And so that Joel said, well, won't you repent? Won't you turn around and start seeking God again? So they start seeking the Lord and crying and fasting and turning down their plate and seeking God. And God responds. Isn't it amazing that as soon as you start communicating with God, God starts communicating with you? God doesn't want a conversation. He wants communication. You coming in here on Sunday is a conversation. But you getting up in the morning on Monday saying, Lord, will I seek you in early? That's communication. Y'all not in here with me. You just want a conversation and think you communicated. And that is the problem with every conversation. The problem with every conversation is that you think communication has taken place. Communication is two ways. It's when I hear you and I understand you, and you hear me and you understand me, and we leave on the same page knowing exactly what each person said, and we have left in agreement. That's why the Bible says all the promises of God are yes. And they are amen. So God wants to have a conversation of yes, but you got to bring to the conversation your amen. And then when your amen meets his yes, communication takes place. So God says, yes, I'll bless you. And you have to come and say, I agree. Yes, I'll heal you. And you have to show up and say, I agree. Oh, y'all are too tied up in here. So the problem is your agreement. Here's why we have a problem with agreement. We want everything to be explained. We're in the information age. I was going to go through this. I don't have time. We're in the information age. And so we can get information at the click of a button, at the click of a mouse. We can Google anything we want to Google, learn anything we want to learn. So we are in information overload. Information is not revelation. Information is knowledge. Knowledge alone doesn't do anything for you. This is why the Bible says, get in all you're getting, get an understanding. And then it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Because what good is it for me to know all this information if I don't understand how? So all the information that we get today is to get us into the know, knowledge. So I know I can know how many years it took Bill Gates to make his money, and I can know how long Oprah has been out there, and I can know what's going on with the Kardashians, and I can know all about the housewives of this state and that state and so forth and so on, and I can know all this useless information. But when it comes down to me wanting to really accomplish something, I never learn how. And then when I get all this useless information, I start going to the information places to try to learn how and start relying on my own understanding instead of leaning on God to do something that, watch me now, I don't know how to do. Not knowing how does not deny you from seeing it happen. I don't have to know how if I know who. And if I know who, how really does not matter. Oh my God, there was a woman with an issue of blood. She had it for 12 years. And according to the word of God, according to the book of Leviticus, if a woman was on her cycle, she could not touch a priest. It was unclean. It was unholy. It was unorthodox. And so she went to all these doctors trying to figure out, how could I get healed? And then all of a sudden she saw Jesus, who was a priest. And she says, if I might but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. I don't have to know how, I have to know who. And if I know who and come in contact with who, oh, I'm about to shake this place up. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you got to come in contact with who? Not how. I know you're educated. I know you got your master's degree. I know you want it to make sense to you. But God rarely makes sense. He rarely makes sense. He takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. So they're trying to figure out, how in this world are we going to recover from this devastation? And the Bible says that as they are communicating with God, God responds. He responds and he says, don't be afraid. Lord have mercy. He tells them, I have had my eye on the whole thing. Don't even think about being afraid. This whole thing is about to change. This whole thing is about to shift. And it's going to happen in such a way that it's not going to be explainable. I did it before, but what I'm about to do is going to be so precise. It is going to have my fingerprints all over it. You're not going to be able to give nobody the credit and nobody the glory but God. It's not going to be because you got some fancy network of all these people you went to college with. It's not going to be because you had the right degree. It's not going to be because you went to the right church. It's going to be because God did it by his spirit, and he did it to let the world know, I'm still a bad individual. Watch this. And so God comes and tells them, this is how I'm going to do it. He says, listen, I'm going to send to you latter and former rain together, and I'm going to do it in such a way that it restores years. Look at your name and say, it's going to be a restoration. Come on here, it's going to be a restoration. I'm going to restore the years. Watch me now. I'm going to restore the years. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. In your King James Version, Bible says the locust, the palmer worm, the cankerworm, these are all the same thing in different stages. You've been fighting the same thing in different stages. It's not a new devil. It's an old devil that developed over time. It's the same thing. And he said, listen, I'm going to restore the years that the thing you've been fighting all this time, I'm going to restore the years that they have eaten. Now, when you think about that, you say, how can you eat years? Because you can't eat years. And so Joel is not talking about the years or time. In other words, you're not going to get no time back. That you can't get it back. Once it's gone, it's gone. But there was fruit that was supposed to happen during those times. So what God is saying, that I'm going to repay you for the fruit that you should have had during those years. God is about to repay you. Or if I'm talking right, holler at your boy. Slap your neighbor and say, it's the big payback. Oh, I dare you get a James Brown anointing and slap your neighbor a high five and say, it's the big payback. Oh, the devil thought he stole some stuff. He I dare you shout, I'm getting it all back. I'm getting it. That dream I had 5 years ago that never came to fruition because the devil fought me tooth and nail, I'm getting that back too. The money that I lost while I was furloughed, I'm getting that. Oh, who am I talking to up in here? I'm getting it all back. Now, if you ain't lost nothing, don't shout. But if you lost something, and you know it was yours, I dare you to take 30 seconds and give God, I'm getting it back for you. All the fruit that you should have had during the years that you had to endure little, God says, I'm going to repay you for every last bit of it. Who am I talking to up in here? It's a big payback. So he says, I'm going to restore years that the locust and the cankerworm have eaten. My great swarm, my army that I sent among you. Here's the blessing. I sent it so it could only eat what I let it eat. Did you hear what I just said? So whatever you lost, God has a count and a record of what it is. It's his army. I only let it eat so much. It ate the fruit, but it couldn't eat the land. You can have my fruit, because I can regrow that. I don't have time to get into it. I can regrow that. But if you take my land, I have nowhere to plant. I have nowhere to sow. I have nowhere to plow. So God kept you in a place where you could still be fruitful. Who am I talking to? Y'all sit down. Y'all sit down. Sit down. Sit, 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 sit. Sit, sit. I'm almost there. I'm sorry. Y'all stand it up. Y'all scared me. Touch your neighbor and say, restoration. So I will restore years. Restoration. The first thing God told me to tell you was there's about to be a restoration. That is a payback. That is a payback of everything that, of all the fruit that you lost. All the things that's supposed to be operating in your life that you lost. There is fruit that you're supposed to be operating in that you can only operate in by the Spirit. Oh God, you can't grow it. It's called the fruits of the Spirit, not the fruits of you. It's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's gentleness, it's meekness, it's faith, it's long suffering. There are 9 of them. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting my fruit back. I'm getting my fruit back. I'm not supposed to be in all this turmoil in my mind. I'm supposed to be walking in the fruit of peace. I'm not supposed, my God, I'm not supposed to be in anxiety. When I have to endure something, I got a fruit called long suffering. Who am I? Faith is a fruit. There's fruit I'm supposed to be operating in. There's fruit of the Spirit I'm supposed to be operating in. And that fruit has seed called gifts. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, working of miracles. Look at your name and say, did you know I can work miracles? Did you know? Did you know by the Spirit of the living God I can work miracles? I ain't got to call the preacher. I ain't got to call the bishop. I ain't got to call the prophet. I ain't got to call the apostle. I can do it right in my living room. I can bring all my family together and I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Slap your neighbor high five and say, did you know you were sitting next to a miracle worker? Wow. The reason I'm a miracle worker is because I serve a miracle working God, and the same God. He's no respecter of persons. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the working of miracles, the laying on of hands, The gift of faith, I don't have time to go through it. There are nine gifts, and there are gifts that you're supposed to be operating in that you're not utilizing because you've lost your fruit. Look at your name and say, I lost my fruit. The reason you lost your fruit is because you didn't stay connected to the vine. You start trying to produce of your own, and anytime you start trying to produce on your own, all you get is sour grapes. Oh God, I'm preaching better, y'all. So he says, I'm going to restore, and I'm going to restore these years that the cankerworm had eaten. And when I do it and send the latter rain, what's going to happen is that you're going to have grain, wine, and oil. Look at your name and say, grain, wine, and oil. Grain, wine, and oil. All throughout Scripture, that is a promise. That is the same promise that God gave to the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, that you're going to have grain, wine, and oil. Touch your name and say, grain, wine, and oil. Grain, wine, and oil. When you get a restoration, you need revelation. You need to know why God is restoring you and what he is restoring to your life. He says, I'm going to bring the latter and the former rain together so that you can have these three commodities, grain, wine, and oil. In other words, you can't go into where you're supposed to go into without grain, wine, and oil. Look at your neighbor and say, you need grain, wine, and oil. You need grain, wine, and oil. Those are the commodities that you should be invested in. And the reason why you need grain, wine, and oil, because they are symbolic of what Jesus Christ is going to do and what he's about to accomplish. The grain represents the bread of life. That's what it is. In order to get grain, you have to take the wheat, and the wheat has to go through the threshing floor. And when the wheat gets to the threshing floor, it goes through a process called minnowing. What happens in minnowing is that it separates the wheat from the chaff so that the grainy part of it can become bread, so that when it's pliable enough to become flour to make the dough. In other words, I can't have things attached to my word that is going to stop it from being able to be the bread of life for me. So I got to get the dumb stuff out of the way through the process. Look at your name and say, this is what it's all about. Come on here. Everything that you have been going through has been a process to produce something. I had to go through a process to know when I got grain, when I got a word, and I can walk on that word, and I can live by that word, so I don't have itching ears, so that when I hear the word of the living God, my spirit responds, and my spirit bear witness with the spirit of the Lord that is the word of the living God, that I don't need an explanation, I just need to believe it. God doesn't need to explain it as much as we need to believe it. And the problem is that you don't know what grain looks like, because the enemy came in while men were sleeping, and he put, my God, something in with the wheat and let it grow together, and it was called tares. The problem with tares is that it looks identical to wheat until harvest time, because at harvest time the wheat turns green but the tares stay brown. I wish I had somebody in here. God brought you to the process of knowing this is the word of the Lord and this is fantasy. This is what God said and this is what my feelings are saying. Am I talking to somebody up in here? Slap your name and say, you're about to get out your feelings and into the word of the living God. It's not about how you feel. It's about what God said. I feel like they don't like me, but God said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. So it doesn't matter if they don't like you. Slap your neighbor high five and say, step out your feelings real quick and step into the word of the living God. In this season, you're not going to operate in your feelings, but you're going to operate in the word. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm moving by the word. I'm not moving by my feelings. You need grain. I'm sorry, I got to hurry up. You need grain. You need wine. Touch your neighbor and say, you need wine. You need wine. Wine represents joy. It represents joy. It represents joy. The reason it represents joy is because wine has to go through a process too. The grape has to first be plucked. And then when it's plucked, it's got to be pressed. It's got to be pressed. It's got to be stepped on. It's got to be trodden. You can't get the juice out of the grape unless it's stepped on, unless it's trodden. He was bruised for my transgression. Oh, God, God. He was He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him. And with every way he was stepped on, with every way he was pressed, with every way he was crushed, to the blood poured out, because the blood washes away all my sins. Look at your name and say, I'm stepping in the blood. I'm stepping by. I got the word, but I also need the blood, so that when all hell breaks loose, I know that I'm covered by the blood, and I put it on the doorposts and the lintels of my destiny, so that death can pass by, so that my dream can live. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm covered by the blood. I am preaching up in here. I know it was the blood. Ah, God. I know it was the blood. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you better be covered by the blood in this season, baby. You better plead the blood over your kids. You better plead the blood over your business. You better plead the blood over your marriage. You better plead the blood over your body. Oh, somebody shout the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. It still works. It still works. It still heals. It still delivers. It still sets free. The blood, the blood, the blood. You need oil. You need grain, which is the word. You need wine, which is the blood. And you need oil, which is the anointing. The oil comes from the olive fruit. Olive is a fruit. And the only way to get the oil out is for the olive fruit to be crushed. Not pressed, but crushed, obliterated. If you don't obliterate the olive, you can squeeze the oil out. But when you taste the oil, it's bitter. The only way to get the bitterness out of the oil is to crush it completely. So you've been comfortable being squeezed, but you're not comfortable being crushed. If you really want the oil, you gotta go ahead and give in to the crush and say, not my will, God, but thy will. Let me tell you, I'm sorry. Oh, God, Jesus, look at the time. Y'all stop standing up. Sit down. Let me talk to you. I didn't know what time it was. I'm almost there. Can I just teach you this part? So he prophesies, Joe prophesies. That he's going to, why he is sending the rain. See, we know the what of it, but we don't know the why. Why do I need latter rain, former rain? Why I need all this rain? Because I'm going to give you something in one season that takes seasons to produce. The wine and the grain and the oil is all going to come in one swoop. Normally you get it in certain seasons and sections, but I'm going to bring it all together in one swoop. And then when I do that, and you got the bread, and you got the wine, and you got the oil, then I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. It's going to hit everywhere, and it's going to hit everybody. When you get the bread, when you get the wine, and when you get the oil, then I can unleash my spirit, and it can hit everybody. Slap your neighbor high five and say, it's going everywhere, it's going everywhere. So there's the revelation. There's the uncovering of the why. God said, I'm going to do a restoration, and then I got to give you revelation. And then once you get that revelation, there's going to be a reformation. There's going to be a reforming of something. Look at your neighbor and say, reformation, 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 reformation. Reformation is not renovation. God is not about to renovate your life. He's not going to give you some new paint. He's not about to paint a room. He's not about to lay down some new carpet. This is a complete rebuild. Look at your name and say, it's about to be a reformation, a reforming. Oh, Lord. A reforming, a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are now made new. So when you get the grain, when you get the wine, and when you get the oil, then I can pour out my spirit on all flesh. Ah, now here we go into the New Testament. Peter's about to stand up and give an explanation that this is that which the prophet Joel had talked about. The only reason Peter has this revelation is because it was God who gave him the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, Son of the living God. We just left Peter last Sunday and Jesus was just filling his boat. But Peter had to go through the process, my God, of being crushed and of being pressed. And it had to go through all of that process. And it was at the Last Supper, my God, that the Lord had looked across the table and said, one of you who are sitting here with me are going to deny me. And it was Peter who stood up and said, is it I, Lord? Is it me? Because he's checking himself, because he knows he's close, my God, to the end of being Simon. And he's close to the end of everything that's not working in his life. And at that very moment, God gives him devastating news, because he rises up and says, I will never deny you. And the Lord says, my God, Simon, Simon, before that rooster crows three times, you're going to have denied me already. But look at your name and say, but that was a setup for him to power up. I wish I had somebody. You got to come to the end of yourself and let God meet you at the point of your greatest failure in order for you to power up. Oh, let's be real honest real quick. I ain't got a lot of time. I got about 3 minutes left. Look down your row and find somebody who halfway look like they want to be here and look at them and say, I messed up, but I'm still about to power up. Peter had messed up, but God was still going to give them the ability to power up. He denied the Lord in front of everybody. It was at that table that Jesus was sharing something with them, instituting something that was about to reform everything. Lord, have mercy. So there was about to be a restoration, and there was about to be a revelation, and there was about to be a reforming of everything. And it was at that table that he said, take bread, for this is my body. This, take grain. Take grain, for this is my body, which is broken for you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. So here I got my grapes, and here I got my grain, and here I got the Christ, the anointed one. And when you get the grain, and when you get the bread, and when you get the oil, you get the spirit. Oh, do you hear what I'm trying to say? This is 500 years of promise, condensed in this one moment, and it hinges on a person's failure, not a person's faith. Peter failed. Oh, I wish I had somebody to talk to. Oh, y'all too cute for me, because you're full of faith. Yeah. 2 minutes and I'll close this thing out. Peter fails, and Peter goes back to doing what he was doing, because that's what happens when you fail. When you fail, you revisit your past. And he goes back to trying to live the old way. But he didn't know he had had the grain, and he didn't know that the wine was present. And he didn't know, Lord have mercy, that the oil was at that table in Jesus Christ. And he didn't know that God had prophesied that when you see that, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And it was Peter who just had got his boat filled not that long ago, who's back to fishing again. He's out doing what he was doing. He's not even out in the deep. He's still back to being the shore fisherman. Come on, stay with me if you were here last week. And the Bible says that all of a sudden he jumps out of the boat because John sees Jesus on the shore and he swims to get to Jesus. And when he swims to get to Jesus, Jesus then commissions him and says, listen, I told you that I'm raising you up to do something brand new. I need y'all to go back to Jerusalem, and I need you to wait for the promise of the Father. I need you to go back, and I need you to wait, because we got the bread, we got the wine, wine and we got the oil. Now God is about to pour out his spirit on all flesh. 500 people got the invitation to go and wait, but only 120 people accepted the invite to go into the upper room. Look at your neighbor and say, are you going to accept the invitation? Come on here. I came to talk to somebody who's been waiting for a real long time and it felt like it was never going to happen. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, God is about to resolve the whole thing. And he's about to do it suddenly. Look at your name and say, it's about to be a sudden thing. This thing is about to come out of nowhere. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, like a mighty rushing wind. I ain't got a lot of time. And it filled all the house. And it was separate, but it was corporate. It was separate, but it was corporate. It was separate, but it was corporate. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to get yours and I'm going to get mine. And then we all going to get it together. Find three people around you and say, you're going to get yours, but I'm going to get mine. And we all going to get it together. You going to get yours, but I'm going to get mine. But then we all going to get it together. Yeah, you're going to get yours, girl, and I'm going to get mine, girl. But then we all going to get it together. Bro, you're going to get yours, bro. But I'm about to get mine, but we all going to get this thing together. Somebody shout, suddenly, there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house. Your whole house is about to get hit with suddenly. Your whole house is about to get hit. I'm sorry, I took too much time. Y'all can all stand up now. I'm sorry. I didn't even say hi to people online. Hi, how y'all doing? And I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. No, not on the religious. Not on the church person. All flesh. Your sons and your daughters who don't even go to church. I wish I had a few radical folk in here. They don't even know the scripture. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. And here comes this word into fruition in the book of Acts. And when it happens, Lord have mercy, there are people from everywhere, from all over the world, listening on what's happening. When God resolves the matter, it will not be private. Everybody gonna see this blessing. Who am I talking to in here? You ain't gonna be able to hide this blessing. I hear you, Holy Ghost. See, somebody is facing something right now that's so devastating you don't want nobody to know. It's all good. I got you. I'm right at you. God, if you just fix this, I'll go back to doing right. I mind my business. God said, I want you to mind your business. I want you to tell it. Look at you like, this is a grown person's blessing. What do I mean by that? When you grow, you don't care what you think or what you do with them. God needs your testimony. You asking him for do it, but he's saying you ain't gonna tell nobody. You want them to do stuff in secret so nobody knows your mess. That doesn't bring him glory. Oh, it got real quiet in this room. This is a grown man blessing. That's what this is. Come on, grab that hand. Let's get out of here. Grab that hand. Focus on me. Stop being so distracted. That's all the enemy wants for you right now. One little thing, get your attention. Somebody gets up and walk. You. God just told you that he is about to restore, reveal, reform, and resolve. He's going to restore. He's going to reveal. He's going to reform. And he's going to resolve. Do you know what a resolution is? A resolution is a document. It is a legal thing. It is a document that says you cannot undo what has been done. What God is pouring out to you cannot be undone. It is resolved. And tonight, there's going to be a suddenly in this house. Spirit of God is just going to move suddenly. Tonight, all I'm going to do is like this. I'm not playing one instrument, figuratively or literally. I'm just conducting. I don't even know if I'm going to lay hands on nobody. I don't know. Now I look forward to all five of you that's going to come and show. Tonight is going to be a move of God. The Spirit of the Lord is going to sweep across this room. Because we got the grain. We got the wine. And we got the oil. Whatever the situation is, God says, I'm restoring it. I'm revealing my plan in it. I'm reforming your mind. And I'm resolving the entire situation. If you didn't understand nothing else, God is restoring. God is revealing, God is reforming, and God is resolving. It's a done deal. Squeeze that hand. Father, we thank you. All over this room, there are people who've been fighting a good fight of faith. People who have been stepping out into territory and areas that they're uncertain, but they're seeking you. People who say, God, I'll come. I'm tired. I don't know you like that, but I'll come anyway. People who have been enduring hardship like good soldiers. There's soldiers in this room, Father, with battle scars, wounded. And you are about to restore. You're healing all of us right now. You're healing us of past trauma and pain and discrepancies and difficulties, past strifes. Bitterness. You're healing us right now. We're being restored. We're being restored. We're being restored. Our relationship with you is being restored. For the wayward, for the sinner, Father, restore that thing. They want to know. You said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So let them call upon your name right now. They don't need no altar call. They ain't got to come down here. They can call upon your name and be saved right in their seat. Come into their life. Change them. Make them new. Make them a new creation. Restore them. Give them a revelation of who you are. Reveal your truth. Reveal your ways unto them. Do it by your Spirit. Reform it all. Put it all back together again. perform it, Father, and resolve it. This is the end, and your people will never be ashamed again. We thank you that it is done in the name of Jesus, and we believe it to be so. We bring our amen to your yes, and we say, Father, we agree with everything you just spoke over our lives. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, shout amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, lift those hands, receive the blessing of the Lord. Tonight at 6 o'clock, victory service. If I were you, I would make my way back in this room. 5 o'clock, you can come in here and start praying. Get your heart and mind ready for what God wants to do. Sit still and know that he is God. Come on, lift those hands. Father, we thank you that you bless your people now. Bless them and keep them. Let your face shine upon them. God, be gracious unto them and give them peace. Surround them with your favor as with a shield. Let your angels encamp themselves round about them. May your blood cover them from now to eternity. In Jesus' name. You agree, shout amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you tonight. Hug somebody and say power up.